What's up, everybody? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. As always, it's Friday, Junior.
Friday, Junior.
I am fired up. We got the Thursday Nighter tonight. We got Jake Seeley from Roto Experts. He's talking about his Week 8 rankings, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. And as per usual, we're digging deep on some of these lists because times are tough, especially at the running back position. So we're going to touch on that. And then Alex Sixero from Fan 590, he hosts their fantasy show in the mornings. He's going to jump on. We're talking buy low, sell high candidates. We're going shopping. It's a great Thursday all around, Chris.
You love shopping.
You love shopping. Look at your outfit today. This guy, I'm wearing all black like I'm going to a funeral. He's styling and profiling. I'm 95 years old, apparently. Styling and profiling.
Gotta respect her.
Let's
she
move on.
My tires all the time.
Cubs.
But before we get to football, let's talk World Series and baseball. I mean, everyone was talking about about Schwarber and how the fact that they're going to play this guy. I mean, he hasn't played since April. You're going to put him in the lineup. He's going to DH. He's going to be in the five spot. He's been fantastic. I mean, he's been unbelievable. The announcers are just gushing over him every day. I mean, oh, he hits a ball foul. Oh, he almost hit that single. I can't believe
it's
that.
Like when you're watching your kid learn how to walk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think he kind of walked. No, he took a step and fell.
Well, he looks great. In game one, he had the double off the wall. He drew a walk against Andrew Miller, who's just been striking out everybody. Yesterday, he had a 2-for-4 day with two RBIs.
Yep.
He scored. He's hitting .429 so far. But the biggest question right now is, as the series shifts to Chicago, where there's no DH, can this guy play game three? Because listen, Cubs want him. They need him.
Pinch hitter.
They need him to play. But you want him to play every day. So right now, I mean, after the game, they asked him, Kyle Schwarber, they said, listen, can you play in the outfield? And he said, I don't know.
I don't know.
I haven't tried yet.
He hasn't tried. He tore his ACL. It's an injury that takes 12 months to come back from. This guy's back on the field five and a half months.
Multiple injuries.
He got demolished.
April.
If you've seen the replay, he got blown up in center field by his teammates. So the fact that he's back is a miracle. They are going to reevaluate tonight and see if he is going to be cleared to play in the field. If not, potential for a pinch hitter.
Yeah, he needs to be cleared by doctors to play in the field. But this is just it's a bigger situation because if you remember last year in the postseason, I mean, he hit five bombs. He was unbelievable, but he couldn't play in the field. He made some big time mistakes out there. He made some errors that ended up costing the Cubs. So he's not a great.
Maybe it's a blessing.
He's not a great outfielder, but his bat is unbelievable. So it's interesting to see how that's going to shape up because, I mean, we haven't even seen really Jason Hayward. He got into the lineup. This is a guy that the Cubs signed to a lot of money in the offseason. He just got in towards the end of that ball game, so it doesn't look like, I mean, maybe even he won't play. So interesting to see what happens with the Cubs over the next couple days, but certainly Schwarber is a guy that they need.
Speaking of how things are going to shake out, some drama this morning in the Twitter world.
C.J. Anderson took himself off Twitter.
I know, and then he came back on. He's fine. He deleted his tweets. But C.J. Anderson, he was injured. They said it was a bone bruise, said he was going to go for a second opinion. Then Ian Rappaport came out and tweeted that he's done for the season. That's what Ian Rappaport has been told by sources close to the C.J. Anderson situation. Anderson, not so fast.
He
quote retweeted, false. Definitively. Just false. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
And now it's just this big thing where Rappaport didn't take down his tweet.
No, he didn't take down his tweet.
Then the NFL Network tweeted the same thing that C.J. Anderson's out for the season.
Yeah, but Ian Rappaport got a new follower, C.J. Anderson. just minutes before we came on here, because we are live on NFL Network, I mean, they were asking Ian Rappaport, and it was basically exactly what Ashley said. He says friends close to C.J. He told friends close to himself and C.J. that he was done for the year, dealing with a bone bruise, maybe a fracture in the knee, much like Dez Bryant had. No ACL tear. That's what Adam Schefter reported earlier this morning. And then he was asked directly about that tweet, and he looked pretty bummed.
Rappaport,
he tweeted, and he said he was fine. He followed me. I followed him. It's just like, Rappaport, what are you doing,
because
bud?
Because it's a bit of egg on your face.
He's tweeting about guys, and those guys come out and say, I'm fine, I'm okay.
And fair, he didn't tweet definitively, this is what I know. He said, this is what I'm being told.
Exactly, yeah.
So it sucks that it falls back on him, but that's what happens when you're an insider.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have the goods. Sometimes players are going to refute your claims, but we will see what happens. We do know he is out for Week 8, which means Devontae Booker is getting the start. And
get yourself familiar with that name, Ashley.
I'm so mad because like 2 days ago, I'm like, listen, let's just not waffle on this. C.J. Anderson's the starter. Let's just let him prove that he's not going to be in this position to get the most carries, to get the most yardage. And now it's Booker, who's a great choice. If you have him, if you handcuffed him, or if you were able to pick him up on waivers, you are laughing. 4.8 yards per carry, one touchdown, and double-digit long rush in four of his last seven games. But You know, a lot of people have been on CJ Anderson, especially after his underwhelming performance last season. Mm-hmm. But when he rushes for 85 plus yards or more, the Broncos are 10-0. Yeah. So we'll see Devontae Booker, what he does with the workload. It's still a blow because the 1-2 punch over in Denver was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. So, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, is this guy only so good because he comes in and he's a little yep. bit of a change of pace back? They run very similar. I mean, you're going to love this the next 3 weeks. I mean, not only San Diego this week, you got Oakland, you got yep. the Saints, and then a bye. My understanding, I think that CJ's done, and even if he comes back come fantasy football playoff time where he's really not just going to
in a limited capacity.
So, good on you. If you have Booker, we've been talking about him being one of the best handcuffs in the NFL, so ride it out. I think he's going to be good. I think the rest of the way with no CJ Anderson, the rest of the way he's an RB1 for sure. But we talked about Jordan Howard a couple weeks ago being an RB1 too. I mean, 43 touches in 2 weeks, and all of a sudden now it's like you don't even really want this guy in your team. I mean, you got Kadeem Carey, you got Jeremy Langford.
We'll talk about
that situation a little bit. Let's roll through some of these news and notes here. Jordan Reed expected to play. I know you could spend the whole hour,
a whole half an hour on this show,
but we got to get into Shea Weber because he looks really good in Blue Blanc Rouge.
We don't need to get into Shea Weber. When you talk about Jordan Reed, I don't know what they're doing in Washington with this guy. They have a bye in 2 weeks. He had a concussion. He has a history of concussions.
Yeah,
I know he says it's my decision. I'm going to play. You know what, though? When you're older, he's 26 years old. When you're older and your NFL career is over, it's not just going to affect you. This concussion symptoms are intrinsically linked to head trauma, which means erratic behavior, which means memory loss, which means dementia, which means when you're older, you're going to be somebody else's problem. Who is looking out for this kid? It's unbelievable. He was put on the injured reserve in 2013 because of head injuries. This is like his 8th concussion that he's had, some that we don't even know about. And that's the crazy thing, because Sidney Crosby is someone that's dealt with head injuries extensively throughout his career. But what he's said is you have to be honest with doctors. You have to tell them your symptoms. They will help you return to form. Jordan Reed said, I didn't tell them.
No.
I kept it a secret. I hid it.
Yeah,
I don't know what he wants to do. He wants to be
good.
A vegetable when he grows up. Anyways, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
There's nothing else really to say about it. I mean, if you watch the movie Concussion, it's just a small example of what these players deal with later on in their career. So it's very scary. Football fantasy aside, I mean, if this guy plays, you play him because he's very talented.
Speaking of coming
Hunter
back from
Henry,
concussions.
Another guy coming
Hunter
back
Henry.
From concussion
yeah.
2 weeks ago. He led the team in targets, receptions. He had a touchdown, yards, all that good stuff against Denver. This is a really tough matchup. I don't know if I trust him. There's lots of other tight ends out there that you can go. Jack Doyle is another guy we saw yep. who had a big week last week. So maybe there's some other options that you can have. But I do like Hunter Henry over Gates. I think there's more of an upside. He's just more athletic, and that's what you want going up against that Denver secondary.
I would agree with you. I have both of them. I'm starting Henry if he's playing. I'm doing
call.
It.
Good call.
And if you drafted Anthony Davis, well,
you probably got him at a steal for one.
Really good night last night. This guy, 50 points, 16 boards, 7 steals. Are you kidding me?
A couple blocks.
Some assists. Like, he's all around great guy. He's obviously magical. We could basically call him a unicorn, although that's the name been given to Kristaps Porzingis. But he grew an inch somehow over the summer. And he's just been fabulous. The knock on him, obviously, is can he stay healthy? The workload is going to be insane for him. Only Tim Frazier, who Chris tipped you off to yesterday as a steal, 15-11 last night.
Game.
The only other person was Etwan Moore. He had 10 points. No one else on the team is going to help him, so the workload is concerning for his long-term health.
All right, let's get into Shea Weber. Also, Miles Turner, awesome, fantastic. 30 points, 16 boards. He had 4 blocks himself. He hit a game-winning 3 in overtime. This guy can do it all. He's in for a big-time breakout season. But Shea Weber, I just want to talk about him just for a second, just from like just a DFS standpoint, really. It's what it's all about. I mean, Galchenyuk and Pacioretty, 30 goals each last season, only 2 combined. Montreal, the second most goals in the NHL, 1 behind Edmonton. I just think from a DFS standpoint, this is the only guy that you can really trust from this team. You're trying to figure out which Montreal guy is going to be able to score all the goals. It's just him who's in on everything. I mean, he's got 3 goals, 2 game-winning, 9 points. He's 2 off the lead, 3 of them on the power play. He's a plus 12, the highest mark in the NHL, in leagues with hits, block shots. Ashley's looking at me. He's a stud. He's doing it all right now. But just Montreal rolls out 4 lines. So if you're going to pick one guy to play from the Canadiens in a DFS standpoint, it has to be Shea Weber.
Right now. Glad he's doing well in his new situation.
He's doing great.
It's always nice to see. Jake's going to join us. We'll see how well he does when we question him on why Booker is not in his top 10 running backs. We'll see what he has to say. Oh, welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Hi, everyone. I'm about to take a selfie in their monitor to get Jake Seeley, who's
live
Chris TV right now.
Wow,
live
awesome.
TV. Wow, that's...
Can we start with Shea Weber
our
again?
Our plans are foiled, I guess. No, we can't start with Shea Weber. What we got to do is talk about Jake Seeley's rankings from rotoexperts.com. And Jake, how's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. You still got to get the selfie in at some point.
I'll make it real quick. I'll get it done at the end of the show, or at the end of our segment.
For those who don't know, Ashley's running the Instagram account, so
yeah,
she's getting
fantasy,
some good videos, good pics.
Yeah, make sure you follow us on Instagram.
But I thought maybe you were going to make me like a dating profile on Tinder or something.
Don't you already have one? Why do I need to make you one?
Let's make him a new one.
He's like, no, I don't.
No,
yeah,
no,
okay.
No, yeah, we'll make
you're
you a new
okay
one,
Cupid
bud.
Instead.
Get you a good one.
Okay, we got to talk about your quarterback rankings. Tom Brady leading the way. In the middle of the pack, though, we're more interested in Matthew Stafford, who falls below Cam Newton, but one spot above Russell Wilson. Chris?
Yeah.
Matt Stafford.
I mean, this guy's been unbelievable all season long. Jake, you've been killing it with your rankings. That's why we have you on here every Thursday. Start Stafford like you do every single week with confidence.
I think you have to. He has a few off games so far this year, but if you look at what he's done, he's got the games with over 3 touchdowns multiple times this year. And if you look at the Texans defense, the reason I ranked him so high is because he's been very good, especially as of late with Golden Tate starting to come on. And the thing is for the Texans is a lot of people just see the defense and will shy away, and they'll start thinking about lesser options and sitting Stafford. And obviously, if you have an elite option, you got Stafford late, you can make that kind of move. But I'm still starting because the Texans haven't been very good at late. In the last 2 games, they've given up to touchdowns. And if you look at what they've done, actually the last 3 games include Minnesota and Denver, which should have quarterbacks that you're not putting on the same tier as Matthew Stafford. And Jonathan Joseph has actually fallen off a lot this year. This used to be a corner that you shied away from for matchup purposes, and he's been actually somebody to exploit in matchups now. So whether Golden Tate sees him, whether Marvin Jones sees him, I think this is a really nice matchup that people are going to overlook because they just think Texans defense, oh no.
See, I think you're overlooking another situation, and let's just reiterate, Jake, your rankings are for standard league purposes. You have Devontae Booker at 11. CJ Anderson is not playing this week. They have a matchup against the Chargers, who are top 10 in running back points allowed per contest. How come he's your 11th ranked? You don't think he deserves to be in your top 10 this week?
You're just looking at the names in front of him. It's just,
still.
Like, I love Devontae Booker and I love the potential here, but there's a lot of names in front of him who also have really good matchup. If you look at somebody like Kristen Michael or Devontae Freeman, who has a bad matchup, but he doesn't have to deal with Tevin Coleman splitting shares now. So I do like Booker. Kubiak came out and said that he's been doing better in the passing game with pass blocking. I still want to see a little bit more of that because that's the biggest reason he was splitting carries with CJ Anderson, even though he was playing so well, is because CJ Anderson needed to be on the field for the passing downs. I think Capri Bibbs might see a few snaps in that facet and where it's not going to be this 90% workload for Booker, but I do like him a lot. But there's a lot of established, nice matchup names in front of him where, you know, let's temper our expectations. I'm not going to put him inside the top 5, but if he's inside the top 20, he's starting for you.
Fair.
Is he an RB1 the rest of the way if there's no CJ Anderson?
As long as CJ Anderson's out, he is, yes, an absolute RB1. Whether or not it's 4 weeks or the rest of the season, he's an RB1.
We're going to dig a little bit deeper, Jake. I know I've been talking to you a lot on Fantasy Radio. You're doing a lot of stuff there on Fantasy Radio. For those who don't know, check it out. It's awesome, 24/7 Fantasy Radio. But we were talking a couple weeks ago about Jordan Howard being arguably an RB1 as well. I mean, he had 2 straight weeks and combined like 44, 45 touches. And now you got Jeremy Langford back. You got Kadeem Carey stealing some touches. If you have, like, who do you like in this offense? I mean, this is not even a great matchup. Would you play any of them against Minnesota?
No, and that's the biggest thing is I don't even like most of them most weeks going forward, let alone a matchup with Minnesota. The only people I like in this game are Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey in the passing game and maybe a little bit of Zach Miller. But yeah, with the running back situation, I just want to avoid all of them. And John Fox told us at the beginning of the season this is what he was going to do. He was going to ride the hot hand. And we thought maybe with Jeremy Langford getting hurt that was going to change because Jordan Howard's very skilled running between the tackles. And if you watched last week's game, that's how they used Howard and they used carry out in space. It just happened to be because of the matchup, because of the defense's strengths. Carey saw more success last week. Howard saw less. This is a matchup this week where the only way that you beat the Vikings so far is with pass catching space running back. So I actually like Carey a little bit more, but I don't want to start either one of them because if he comes out and gets 3 carries for 2 yards and then Howard busts off a 10-yard run, we might see Howard for the rest of the game for the most part.
Alshon Jeffrey, we got to talk about him looking in your wide receiver rankings. You have him ranked 15th, and I mean, I don't even know what to say about this guy. I just feel so bad. There was expectations that he would be good. He's coming off injury and that people wanted him to bounce back. 3 of 11, 33 yards, week 7 in a loss to Green Bay. He hasn't had a touchdown in 7 games. It's the longest drought of his entire career. Based on those numbers and based on what he's done this season, you see him at 15. I'm like, oh, is that, that's even like a little high.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to think that, but the Vikings have given up 15-plus points to receivers the last two games, and I wrote these numbers down so we had them, but I'm looking at with and without Jay Cutler, which is it's a dramatic difference. For Alshon Jeffery, we're talking about 17 fantasy points per game in PPR versus 11, 92 yards versus 64, and 6 touchdowns versus none over the last 2 years. So Jay Cutler at quarterback is a huge difference for Alshon Jeffery. We saw the fact when Hoyer came in that he targeted Cameron Meredith so much. He ended up being his favorite receiver, and he was going Kevin White's way a lot before Cameron Meredith stepped up in replace of his injury. So I think Cutler at quarterback is the big difference, and the coach doesn't seem to have very good confidence in him for what he said in the postgame stuff and throughout the week, which is just surprising why a coach would say that, but it is John Fox. But at the same time, it just adds the level to Jay Cutler's just not going to care, and he's going to keep throwing the ball, which is great for Alshon Jeffery and Jay Cutler.
Yeah, we've been hearing, this is almost the theme. I mean, CJ Anderson told his friends that he was done, apparently. That's what Rappaport said. And then I read a report this morning that John Fox told his friends he's done with Jay Cutler. People are telling their friends everything here today.
They need new friends. Their friends are leaking all the inside scoops.
I kind of wanted to get into Cameron Meredith. And I mean, does he take a step down? You know, I guess it remains to be seen. You have to really see what Cutler does, because Meredith was coming with all that action was with Hoyer. If you have Meredith, are you starting him? Like, is he a wide receiver 3 bubble line?
No, I'm not looking to start him, but I'm definitely holding on to him because he could turn back into that. Because before Jay Cutler got hurt, he was targeting Kevin White quite a bit too. So I think that if we see that same rapport carry over, similar with Brian Hoyer, then you have somebody who could be a wide receiver on your hands. But at the same time, the thing we have to remember too with Cameron Meredith is similar to Tajae Sharpe in the preseason and the real season hit, and teams saw him a lot more, had some tape on him and said, oh, this is how you stop a limited wide receiver. Cameron Meredith is very skilled athletically, but he's still learning the position, converted quarterback, and now that teams have a little tape on him, we might not have, it could be a situation similar to Sharp where these teams know how to stop him now and he doesn't have the talent to succeed. He looked good so far, but with Cutler coming back, you don't know the rapport, and we just don't know who the true Meredith is.
That's fair. Similar to what people were saying about Stephon Diggs last year.
Yeah.
He was kind of a one-trick pony.
We got to get out of here,
but
Jake.
Wait.
We really wanted to talk about Cordarrelle Patterson. Ashley and I have been talking about him for about 3 weeks now. We're seeing an uptick in him. Just a very skilled player who's raw. People should pick up this guy and start him, right?
I hate to do it. I actually picked him up in quite a few leagues. It feels so dirty to pick up Patterson to do it, but if you look at it, the last 3 games, 6-plus targets, and he scored each of the last 2 games. You almost have to at this point.
Yeah.
All right, Jake. Well, we have to go, unfortunately. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
All right. I'll look for my profile online.
Have a good weekend. Enjoy your Tinder dates. See ya. All right, coming up next.
Swiping right.
Swipe right. Just play the numbers.
Yeah, just swipe. Swipe away, Jake. Swipe away, bud. We'll see you next week.
Oh, okay, I don't even know where to go. We'll be back. Bye, Sel. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you. As always, it's time to go shopping, as we talked about at the beginning of the show. Buy low, sell high. And to help us out with this, Alex Sixero from Fan590. He hosts the morning show, The Fantasy Show, over there. How's it going, Alex?
What's up, guys?
You can check out Alex Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and then you can watch here Sunday FST. But Alex, we always have all these questions, these buy low, sell high. Here we are, basically halfway through the season. Jay Jai coming off 2 unbelievable games. And if you own Jay Jai, you're loving it right now. But if you're thin at the wide receiver position and you already have a couple backs, is this somebody that you would sell? Maybe you're looking to get one of these lower back or lower wide receivers. We've been talking about DeAndre Hopkins. We've been talking about Allen Robinson a lot. If you own Jay Jai, do you want to get rid of him, or do you want to acquire this guy? Are you keeping?
I think if I own him, I don't want to get rid of him, but if I can turn him into DeAndre Hopkins, I think I would do that in a heartbeat. Allen Robinson is a little more sketchy, only because, I mean, I don't know if Marquise Lee is going to be a thing all year, and I think looking at, you know, Jacksonville wide receivers in terms of who leads that team in targets and who leads that team in yardage, Allen Robinson is not first in any of those lists, which is really concerning, and I thought they were going to break out last week, and Blake Bortles was just terrible again. So I think if I have him, yeah, it's a luxury. If I can turn him into DeAndre, I'm doing that for sure. I mean, he's had over like 34 targets the last 3 weeks, and he's kind of ran into a few tough matchups. He had Minnesota, he had Denver last week, but the schedule opens up really nicely for the Texans. So I think if I'm trading Ajayi, I kind of want like a low-end number one wide receiver, and if I can't get that, then I'm probably just hanging on to him because I do kind of believe this is kind of sort of a thing.
Yeah, and Adam Gase said this morning that he's going to monitor his workload. I mean, that's a lot of carries for a guy who really hadn't seen anything the first few weeks.
Yeah,
and you know what? I think the other thing, too, is, and maybe I should have picked up on this 2-3 weeks ago, but I think it's been talked about a lot, but having the O-line intact, like all five guys there, a whole bunch of former first-round picks, really means a lot. Like, I'm a Bills fan, so to watch him run all over that defense last week was really impressive. And it's almost been 3 full weeks that they've had that O-line intact. If it wasn't for Laramie Tunsil falling out of a shower in Tennessee 3 weeks ago, he would have had all these guys together for 3 full weeks. So they may monitor his work, but with Arian Foster retired, like, there aren't many guys who we could say will get for sure 20 carries a game. And I think now he's one of them.
Yep,
and
sure.
In some series, they were actually bringing in an extra blocker to ensure his success. And as someone who only had 49 carries his whole rookie season, this is obviously a big step forward. Let's talk about someone that other people have been saying, sell high if you can find someone to take him. And that's Matt Forte. Big week last week, a good matchup this week. But what do you expect from him going forward?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think you got to sell high on Matt Forte, but I would take the chance and wait until Monday only because this week, even giving up about 5 yards per carry, 7 rushing touchdowns already. So I think looking at his 7 weeks, the one thing I've noticed in the 2 games the Jets have won and the one that they lost by a point, so pretty much the 3 games they were in it or leading, Forte is averaging a lot of touches per game. And in the 4 games they've lost where it's been a little bit of a kind of a semi-blowout situation, Bilal Powell's been involved a lot more. So I think the reason why we didn't see Powell on the field a lot last week was because apparently he was the emergency backup quarterback with Geno going down. So if something happened to Fitzmagic last week, they needed Powell to go in and probably run the Wildcat or something, and that's why he was only on the field for maybe 6 or 7 snaps. I believe in Bilal Powell. I think there's going to be a lot of games where Bilal Powell is going to be involved, and I think there's going to be a lot of games over the next little bit where Matt Forte has 12 touches and gets like 35 yards. Yeah. So I absolutely think you should sell high, but it's probably advantageous to wait and hope that he goes off against Cleveland, and then come Monday, if you can turn him into like a top 20 or 25 wide receiver, or maybe a tight end if you need help, then you do it at that point.
And yeah, you're right. Between Forte and Powell, whichever one it ends up being, their pass game is super shaky, so they're going to go to the ground.
Alex, we only have about 30 seconds. Really want to get into Doug Martin. Get a lot of Doug Martin questions on Twitter. Do I acquire this guy? Do I trade him? Do you think he gets back on the football field? Because if you look at Tampa Bay's schedule, it's pretty fantasy friendly the rest of the way.
I think if you want to buy low, you can. Just don't give up too much because at this point, we don't know when he's going to come back. He didn't practice yesterday. Jaquiz has been fine, back-to-back 100-yard games. And I think if Doug Martin does come back, they'll obviously work him in very slowly. So I don't mind getting him because, like you said, the schedule is not bad. New Orleans and San Diego late in the season. But don't give up too much because there's just too many questions about when he's going to come back. So you got to be careful with that.
All right, Alex, we really appreciate your time. If you're driving there, drive safe, and we'll catch you on Sundays, man. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good show.
Thanks a lot. That's Alex Sixero, the host of The Fantasy Show on Fan 590. One of the guys we didn't get a chance to get to, Dez Bryant.
Yes.
Buying or selling?
Yeah, I'm not selling him. I mean, you waited for this guy to come back. He's had good games against the Eagles. I don't know if he's a borderline top one wide receiver.
All right. We'll see.
I like to run the ball
there. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.